Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News, national college basketball writer and a Hall of Famer at that. But he covers a lot of other things. So let me ask you this question. If I had to ask you right now who the best team in the ACC was, who is it?
The best team. Oh, boy. I would probably say Virginia. I think that one's that question is not that hard to answer because they played really well and they have a good resume, a solid resume. They've been I think they've been a 3 or 4 seed for me. I've been doing the bracket since the end of December, so they've been a 3 or 4 most of that time. So I would not think them to be necessarily the most dangerous team, but the team that has played the best so far this year, I would think that they fit that category.
So for me, there's 3 teams in that mix. One of them is Virginia. I personally think it's Miami. But I am curious what you think of NC State at this point in the season. They have played a really tough schedule in the league and just got to 5-3 after starting 0-2.
Yeah, I'm excited about what Kevin's been able to do there. Someone that I've known for a very long time and like a lot. And so it's really cool to see them having a season that their fans have been kind of waiting for a little while. And they played very well. The win over Duke was terrific. And to go to Virginia Tech and win, they've got some excellent victims on their resume now. And obviously, they've got opportunities coming up as well with trips to Carolina and Wake in the next 3 games.
Look, I love their backcourt. I mean, I haven't seen a ton. We haven't seen Reese Beekman play a lot for Virginia. They have not been 100% healthy. But we just saw Miami, and I know how good Miami's backcourt is. Isaiah Wong's a dynamite player. But I don't know if there's a better backcourt in the ACC than what NC State rolls out there. And I think one of the underrated things about them is just how good an all-around player Casey Morsell has become. Last year's version of Casey Morsell was a disappointment. It's obviously an adjustment coming from Virginia here. But, man, he was awesome last night in a lot of ways that aren't three-point shooting, which he's a good three-point shooter. I love Joyner and Smith as a backcourt.
Yeah, they've done great. And it's, let me see if I can say this properly. Terquavion, is that how he
says
it? Yes, awesome. Well, it's an awesome name, and he has played terrifically. And I love when players go. I'm a big believer in go find out what the NBA wants and see how you fit into it. And if they say you're not ready, then instead of saying yes, I am, and then finding out no, you're not, you go back and you get ready. And he's doing that. He's proving the NBA guys right that he wasn't. And it wasn't a pipe dream, but that he needed more time. And I was at the combine last June and saw Kevin there and talked to him. And it's great that he is back at the state and playing so well that maybe when the Sporting News Midseason All-American team is released tomorrow, maybe you might see that big name on there. I don't know. Maybe.
Speaking of big names. DJ Burns is a big human being. He is so much fun to watch. They're also going to get a big bag. Dusan Mihorčić is coming back from an injury that I think a lot of people thought he was going to miss the rest of the year. He was a big player for them early. Look, their game against Carolina on Saturday is huge for a lot of reasons. I would argue it's maybe bigger even for Carolina, who has really yet to look great against a good team. And I don't know if you have any concerns about the Tar Heels or not, but I think it's a sneaky big game for UNC.
Oh, no, I totally agree with you. There are a couple reasons why. What you mentioned about them not playing great against the best opposition, because even the Ohio State game, at a point when Ohio State was playing very well, I mean, Ohio State should have won. Credit to Hubert for drawing up an outstanding inbound play.
Yep.
And this whole sequence was beautifully designed. Inbound to midcourt, call timeout. Inbound to the far post to put the Ohio State defense in jeopardy. And then the great turnaround by Pete Nance.
Yep.
I mean, it was all beautiful. But Ohio State shouldn't have allowed it to happen right. The way that they did. And made some mistakes down the stretch that gave the Tar Heels a chance. So then you look at, you know, they go to Pitt and they don't play great, and they go Virginia, and of course they have an excuse in that one, but it's all sitting there, and they haven't played exceedingly well against great opposition. And so a lot of people are kind of waiting for them to show what they really have. And they don't want to go back into March in the same circumstance they were a year ago. They want to go back into March like the team that ended March. And so games like this one are really important because there are only so many of them. You have the two Duke games, and you got to go to Wake, and you got Pitt coming back to you. And so there are some, but maybe not as many as are offered in some other leagues. I mean, you got a lot of Florida States and Syracuse's, yeah. And Notre Dame's. There's a fair amount of that on the schedule.
I saw the first score I saw for Florida State and Notre Dame was 29-8. Florida State was leading Notre Dame, and I'm like, what happened to Notre Dame? I realize they're bad. They're not Louisville bad, but there are four or five really bad basketball teams in the ACC this year, and it's going to drag some strength of schedules down. But I think the rest of the teams are fairly capable. It's a very strange year. I don't think there's anybody ultimately that's going to be seeded higher than four. I really don't. At the end, I don't think anybody's that good, but I think there could be a lot of teams seated between 7 and 11.
If the Tar Heels were to tear down the stretch, and Ken Pom has them not doing that, he has them predicted for a 12-8 finish.
Yeah,
in the league, that's not going to get it done. That's going to get them in, but I mean, if they tore down the stretch the way they tore through March last year, I could see them getting high as a three, probably not that any higher than that, but I could see them getting to a three. But it's up to them. And I think the same with the Blue Devils. They have that ability if they were to put it together. It's not together now.
No.
Those are the two teams that could get reasonably high that aren't already there like Virginia is. The rest, I think, are competing to be somewhere in the 6 to 9 range. High end 6, low end 9. I get yelled at every week. How can the ACC have so many teams in when their league isn't that great? Because you look at it, the net rankings are around 6 or 7, something
right.
like that. But they've got a lot of teams that look like 9 or 10 seeds. I
right.
mean, it's just the way it is.
They have to fill the field out. So yes. I mean,
somebody's got to lose those games. That's what I always say.
We might have two teams in the first four. Who knows? Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News at TSN Mike on Twitter. All right, it ended up not mattering, but you and I were messing around with this on Twitter the other day. We have a team that finished 8-9, and they hosted a playoff game against a team that won 12 games. This is not the first time it's happened. Carolina at 7-8-1 won a playoff game with a losing record. The Seattle Seahawks at 7-9, going back about 10 or so years, won a playoff game at home with a 7-9 record. Why is it so hard to say, all right, you're going to get in by winning a bad division, but we can't reward you with a home game, especially when it's against a good team?
I wrote that column and it appeared on Monday, the day of the Cowboys-Bucks game. And I really thought, and probably some of the resistance was because it was the Cowboys, but I was really surprised by how much resistance I got to that column, Adam. People are so conditioned to, well, this is the way it is, that they live with it
right.
not being very smart. It's a really dumb construct to say because you're a division champion, you're automatically a top four seed. And I think the best illustration of this is that this is true because I looked it up. If you had this process in place for the NCAA tournament last year, instead of being seeded a 2, Duke would have been, I believe, a 10. And instead of being like a 14, I think it was Colgate would have been like a six. That's something
right.
like that. I mean, it's a ridiculous process. And I was speaking to my editor, Bill Troche, yesterday when we met, and we talked about this. And honestly, that's one of the flaws in the expansion plan for the college football playoff, that
yes.
the four highest rated conference champions will get automatic bids. Okay, cool. But also home games. Nah, I don't think that's necessary. Take the four highest seeded teams. Look, if it's Georgia, Alabama, one's 12-1 and the other's 13-0, they should both get a home game. That's or Ohio State and Michigan or whatever league it is. It's what it, if they're two of the four best teams, I have no problem with. I just want automatic qualification because it tells you. And this is true in every sport. If you do this, you are part of the championship you're seeking. And this is true in every right now in every sport but college football, essentially around the world. If you do this, you're in. In college football currently, and it'll go away in 24, it's do whatever and we'll let you know. And
right.
so I would like to see the NFL be rational about this. I had some people saying, yeah, but the schedules aren't balanced. And I'm like, okay, but here's the thing. You play basically a third of your schedule against your division. So if you can't use that advantage in a bad division to put yourself into a position where you have one of the best records, like if you're Tampa Bay this year and you're playing in the NFC South, a division that the Steelers played as part of the rotation, they played every team in that division and rolled them all.
Yeah.
And the Steelers were not exactly these were the 2022 Steelers, not the 1975 Steelers. And they rolled through that division. And so Tampa couldn't use that advantage to put together a better record than the Cowboys playing in a division that now constitutes 75% of the remaining NFC playoff field. Come on, man. You got to be smarter than that. This is the NFL. It's the best sports organization on the planet. You got to be smarter than that.
Well, it's not the best sports organization on the planet. It's oh no, I think the product and its appeal is, but I would rank the NFL how it's run, who it's run by, as about the 11th best sports organization on the planet.
That's a show for another day.
I've said this I don't know how many times. They succeed in spite of themselves because it's a product that just the American public and really the world who has experienced it, it's just they devour it. Almost 31 million people watched a terrible football game on Monday night. They just have so many viewers, so much interest that they cannot screw it up. It's impossible to screw up the NFL. They're trying, but it's we'll eventually have 18 games and we'll probably have games five nights a week. They're going to try and destroy it, but they can't. It's an undefeated proposition in spite of themselves. But
I happen to think they do really well with their competition and that this is one of the few significant flaws. I think, you know, they do some. But, I mean, look, the NHL has the worst player safety department. Major League Baseball has no salary cap. And so, like, they're already.
Oh, man. Don't start with the salary cap.
Oh.
You and I, this is where we should, just so we can have an argument next time you come back, just so we can have an argument, you and I should talk about the salary cap and what it doesn't do.
Okay. We should do that. Like, we could do an hour, man.
We could.
We could do a whole show.
We could. Then we would go have Diet Cokes and Light Ice.
There you go.
Mike DeCourcy, you're the best. I appreciate your time, man.
Thanks, Adam. Take care.
You got it. Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News at TSN Mike on Twitter. Seriously. Mike and I go back and forth about what the salary cap should do. Because the theory is that, oh, man, it spreads out the talent. Nope.
No.
It doesn't. I'm not going to get on a soapbox about this. It just keeps more money in owners' pockets. But if you're into that, that's cool. I'm all about you getting what you want.